What up, Long Beach? Welcome back to your home for everything local sports. We are the 562.org, and this is our weekly sports podcast called What Up, Long Beach. As always, I'm JJ Fiddler, and my co-host across the table, Mike Artabasio.
We come into the post office down here in downtown Long Beach every week to record these two podcasts that we put out as part of our partnership with them. We love working with all of the talented folks at the Long Beach Post. You can go to lbpost.com and check out their story about all of the freaking awards that are coming their way.
Pretty impressive.
It's a talented group of people. And we contribute some sports content, a big weekly feature as well.
Because Long Beach Post and the 562.org are both community-funded journalism outlets. We're here for you because of you. So please make sure you visit both websites and hit those subscribe buttons so we can keep bringing you the news and sports news from around the city of Long Beach.
Ran into Dave Orsini, the owner of Naples Rib Company,
the other day.
He was over at Blair Field personally delivering all of the food for the Long Beach Century Club social. They do that the last Tuesday of every month. And their social this month was to go to the longest dirtbag game of the season, officially, at 4 hours and 30-something minutes.
Not shocked.
And to enjoy some Naples Rib Company together. And what I loved about that was once the Century Club put the word out, hey, $20 for people to get in, and it's going to be a baseball game, yeah, whatever, but it's also going to be catered by Naples Rib Company. That's what got everyone out there. And, of course, I was not surprised to see our guy Dave personally delivering the food, because that is the kind of investment he's got in the Long Beach community and the Long Beach sports community especially. So he supports us. He supports everything Long Beach sports. You got to go and support him too. Head down to Naples Rib Company on 2nd Street and tell him Mike and JJ sent you.
Lead from the front. Guys, you are listening to a very special edition of What Up Long Beach, because we are announcing a new sponsorship and a new award that we're going to hand out every month. It is the Athlete of the Month Award from the 562.org and brought to you by Johnny B. Hair Care. We're going to explain that all right now because we've got the president, founder, just the runner of the show here, Al Anorga, joining us. Al, it's literally your birthday today.
Thank you
so much for coming on, and thank you so much for joining the 562.org.
Thank you, JJ. It's an honor to actually to be on this website with nothing but winners.
You're in the office, this beautiful office you guys have on your birthday?
Yeah.
Working on your birthday.
You know, it's not work, so it's like my life, and I enjoy what I do, so it doesn't feel like work.
We feel that. Yeah. We feel that at the 562.org. It is a labor of love, to be sure.
That's what it is.
Congratulations also on 25 years.
Mm-hmm. This year, May 20th is our actually company birthday, and after all these years, it doesn't even feel like we have been doing it for so long. Time has really crept up on us.
That's incredible. So Johnny B is now the official sponsor of the Athlete of the Month. Now, you guys know we do Athlete of the Week every week for high school and college athletes getting recognition. And now we're going to name an Athlete of the Month every month. And that athlete is going to receive some swag here from Johnny B, which is so cool because you guys have some really incredible products.
We're going to load that little basket up with a bunch of goodies. We're going to put in there, you know, our best-selling products. We make shampoos, conditioners. We make styling products like pomades and gel, shave products, body lotions. We're going to make sure the athlete that wins this special award is going to be completely geared out with Johnny B hair products.
Make sure you check the website next week for our official announcement, little press release we got put together. So it's got all of the details and more information on Johnny B Hair Care. How did you get involved in hair care? Are you originally from the local area?
I am. Born and raised in Los Angeles. I was just telling you a little bit ago, I went to Long Beach State.
Go Beach?
Go Beach. I live in Seal Beach, so I'm stayed in the area. The whole beauty industry kind of started for me at a young age. I was about 12 years old. My mother opened up a beauty and barber supply here in LA. And I'm an old guy, and I've been in the beauty industry all my life.
What is that like? I mean, as a guy in sports, I'm in a male-dominated area, and you are in a female-dominated area. Does that change kind of the way that you interact business-wise?
Not at all. I think the big thing is in our industry is that both sexes are always in need of making sure that they keep their looks up. And I think athletes in particular invoke that. You're so in tune with your body, so in tune with your sport, that it's just a natural fit. I feel that you also want to make sure that you look your best.
You were telling me you also have a sports background too, right? Coached basketball?
I did. I much younger, before my children, I was coaching high school basketball. I was also involved in a league that was a weekend summer league. And that's actually how this all started. I saw there was a need for a product line that could have the same performance levels that the athletes I was training. And so I decided to start a brand that would help them as well.
That's incredible. Was there a time in your life where you were like, it has to be sports or it has to be fashion? Did you ever have to choose?
No, I think for myself, I wasn't as gifted as maybe I would have liked to have been. But I knew that sports was something that I always wanted to enjoy. So I looked at sports as more like my entertainment. And I looked at the beauty industry as more of my, okay, this is my career that I'm going to make my living at.
Sports is good entertainment, that's for sure. Do you have a favorite sports team in the local area? Or
I do. My college doesn't have a football team, so I embraced the UCLA Bruins.
Okay,
so,
that's good.
So I'm a Bruin fan, so I follow their sports a little more closely. And in sports, in terms of the professionals, I'm a big Dodger fan.
Attaboy. Love it. Yeah, I was thinking of trying to find a way to get to Chavez Ravine on Thursday.
Maybe
I'll save my money for another day. Opening day, always a little bit more expensive. You know, you were talking about basketball. And last time we talked, you were saying that those kids that you coached there were kind of like, the impetus to you getting into fashion, where kids in sports can have products that aren't dripping into their eyes. As a kid who played high school sports before stuff like this existed, I can't tell you how many times I walked out of football practice with the sweat and the acid it felt like dripping into my eyes. You know, why are your products better than the products that we've been using for so long?
A lot of the products that are out there are not water soluble. So what happens is the body heats up, the product breaks down, and then that's when you see that product is starting, to creep into the face or into the eye area like you experienced. We actually outfit a lot of professional boxers, and as you can imagine, for them, they're getting hit in the face, getting hit in the head. They use our products because they know that those won't interfere with their performance.
That's incredible. Is it groundbreaking? Are you breaking? Are you setting a standard here?
I don't know if it's groundbreaking, but I think what happens is that we tend to use products based on performance, and we test them. We make sure that our team of educators and barbers across the country use them, and we define that what their use is before we just put them on a shelf. And I think that's part of the growth that we've experienced. It's real organic.
Well, I could have used that when I was at Long Beach State. Tried to play a little rugby, club rugby, in my freshman year, and I had my class before I had another class. I always looked a little disheveled in that second class.
I can imagine, JJ. I can see. Right now he's wearing a hat, by the way.
Well, yeah. Why do you think I always wear a hat? Because I don't have Johnny B hair care.
We're going to fix that.
Ready for me. This partnership is so important to us because it gives us another opportunity to give back to the community. This athlete of the month is obviously going to be somebody who has performed incredibly well in Long Beach. And to perform incredibly well in Long Beach athletically is an accomplishment in and of itself. So we know why we're doing it. Why did you want to get involved at the 562.org?
Well, I think that's a fantastic point that you made. The city has an amazing background in history and sports. And many, many athletes have come out of Long Beach that have gone on to be in the Olympics or gone on to achieve great things. For me personally, my motivation was that a lot of times you look at the high school sports and there's very little acknowledgement. And the achievements that a lot of you as athletes are doing are things that you're going to reflect back on the rest of your life and will be a big part of your career. And I just wanted to be a part of that. I wanted to be a part of that and acknowledge your students and all of your athletes and let them know, hey, this is something that we see and we want you to be acknowledged for this amazing performance.
Preaching to the choir, Al. Could not agree more. Thank you again so much for coming on the show and being involved at the 562.org. That is Johnny B. Hair Care sponsoring the Athlete of the Month each and every month here at the 562.org. You can find them on all social media platforms at Johnny B. Hair Care. It's time once again for our Athletes of the Week. As you just heard, we are now doing the Athlete of the Month along with our new sponsor, Johnny B. Hair Care. So make sure you check that out at the end of April is when we're going to be giving out the first one there, so that all the people we're mentioning now each and every week are going to be nominated for that award. So our Athletes of the Week, brought to you, of course, by Naples Rib Company. We've got two groups, a high school group and a college group this week, Mike. And for the high school group, it's kind of all over the place. We're on the small diamond, we're on the big diamond, we're on the track, we're at the basketball court. Let's go.
I would just say I do enjoy doing the Athletes of the Week, but the spring season is just like torture because you're just like swim, track, baseball, softball, boys volleyball, golf. Like everything's happening. I mean, I left out badminton and tennis and like other stuff going on. Everything's happening. And if you don't keep everyone's plate spinning, they get upset. And it's just like, well, we're not going to give out 10 athletes of the week every week. I don't know what to tell you. We're not going to do
that. This is elite stuff, people.
So our winners this week were indeed all elite athletes, as is always the case. Ava Tracta from Wilson Softball had a big week in a game over Poly. She had five RBIs. She had a home run and a double in a big win over Poly. And then another Bruin, Armando Bryson, on the track, ran a state best 154.24 to win the Mount Carmel Invitational 800. He's also now top 10 in the state in the 400 and the 800. And really quick, this is what I love, was Armando was the state leader in the 400 a couple weeks ago, and then Everett Stewart from Poly knocked him out of the state leading spot in the 400. So then Everett right now was the state leader in the 800, and then Armando knocked him out of the state leading spot. So I'm really excited to watch all these Long Beach kids see how well they do the rest of the year.
Yeah, it is track season here in the LBC. That is so much fun. Also for softball, and I think we've mentioned this before, track does an underclassman, and it's like you're looking at all of these, I don't know, these leagues, and you're kind of looking at them, the health, and I think the Milliken, Lakewood, Wilson, even Poly to an extent, more like softball, very healthy right now.
Yeah,
I think
a lot
it's
of
only
going
to get better next year, and I think that obviously Lakewood returning to Lakewood's status, number one in Division II, just one loss on the season. And they have some really good underclassmen too. So yeah, just Ava is a good example of where that league is headed, and it's headed in the right direction.
Jake Miller from Poly Boys Volleyball was another athlete of the week. He had 16 kills over Wilson to give the Jackrabbits a big win there. Younger brother of Sarah Miller, who we covered for 4 years at Lakewood and then at Long Beach State. Happy to see him doing well. He's much taller than his sister, and he's like the ultimate surfer dude. He was on the Poly surf team. He was literally out there in Kobe's and Van socks.
Nice.
It's nice. Classic. It's a look, bro.
That boys volleyball season is going to be lit, Mike.
Yeah, the second half of the season starting on Thursday this week is going to be absolutely nuts. It's going to be quite a lot of highlight videos coming from your boy.
So there's four teams in the running for first place?
Lakewood and Milliken are tied for first place with one loss, and Poly and Wilson are right behind them with two losses each. Everyone's beaten everyone, so it could, like last night, Poly goes up on Lakewood 2-0 to move into the first place tie with Milliken, then loses sets 3, 4, and 5.
Oh, the reverse sweep.
The reverse sweep. So it's gonna be crazy. Any one of those four teams could beat anyone else. That's very rare for the Moore League or any high school sports league. And I'm excited to see what happens.
We need a boys volleyball CIF playoff run. It's been too long.
Yes.
It's been way too long.
Completely agree.
That game at Wilson with young McCray and Mikey Wilder
against Loyola.
Leading the
quarterfinals, sellout, largest crowd I've ever seen in the Wilson gym for any sport.
I'll never forget that. They lost, and I'll still never forget that match.
Five sets, I believe, on a let serve on the...
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible stuff. Yeah, we need that, so... Get on it, boys volleyball teams.
Our fourth high school athlete of the week is Dylan Gambino from Cabrillo. We don't often put losing pitchers in athletes of the week, but he once again had a magical game against Poly and almost delivered a huge upset. Poly, who had yet to lose in the league, was up just 1-0 on Cabrillo in the seventh with the bases loaded and no outs. So Cabrillo was one hit away from taking that game and giving the Jackrabbits their first loss of the Moore League season. A lot of that thanks to Gambino. He gave up just six hits in the loss to Poly in a complete game effort.
If I am a junior college baseball coach, I'm coming to every single Cabrillo baseball game.
He is definitely, for a guy who I believe is only a junior, he is definitely getting quite a lot of attention.
I mean, because you're looking at him, and he's not physically imposing.
He's not an overpowering looking.
He's not gonna wow you coming off the bus, but this kid's changeup is magic. And if I'm a junior college coach and I'm looking at him and I'm like, I can bring that for 2 years. I mean, he could legitimately develop with a little bit more physical strength. He could legitimately develop into a pro. He could go 2 years to a JC, go to a 4 year college for 2 years, and sign a minor league contract. I could definitely see Dylan Gambino doing that. And to say that about a Cabrillo baseball player, people,
we have not said that about a guy.
Crazy.
Yeah. Well, I would just point out too, he has that major league kind of a work ethic. He was doing what I always think of as the Chase DeYoung. After he pitches that complete game,
warm down,
they had to call him back in for me to interview him because he was going to go run the outfield. Yep. You know, back and forth. It was just like,
it's when it's real, Mike.
All right, for sure.
It's
when
you know it's real.
Absolutely. We've also got two college athletes of the week, Ashley Coleman, bringing that Coleman grill to the Long Beach State softball team.
Yeah, she cooked up LMU in the second game of their doubleheader on Saturday. The no-no. She threw the no-hitter, 31st in school history, and she was the Big West pitcher of the week, obviously.
Just one walk away from a perfect game, too.
Yeah, and they mercied him, too, so it was in a shortened game. But she's been balling for a while. I think she's given up 6 hits total in her last 4 starts. So Ashley Coleman trying to emerge as the ace for that Long Beach State softball team right now. But listen, it's track season, people. Let's get back to the track.
Herman Day at Long Beach State. Just
have a day.
Have a Herman Day. Broke his own meet record at the UC Riverside Spring Classic in the decathlon, racked up 7,410 points in 10 events. I actually, even as a track person, don't know enough about the multis to put that number into context for you, but he broke a meet record, and he's up there on the school's all-time list as well.
He's number one in the nation. Nobody has run the decathlon better than Herman Day
Done.
This year.
You can't say run because they throw stuff too.
Oh, sorry, you're right.
No one's performed?
Completed?
No. He's good at the decathlon.
Bro. Okay, I'd put the decathlon and the 200 individual medley as the two events in sports that you look at somebody who's elite in that and you're just like,
respect to you.
Respect, bro. Yeah. All I can do is.
Couldn't be me.
Little kid taking off his hat to Jeter, dude. Respect. Do you remember a few years ago? Domino's Pizza just basically told the world, listen,
we sucked.
We were horrible. We tried the other pizzas and we were by far the worst. So instead of continuing to do that, we're going to reset, come back at you with a brand new recipe. I got to be honest with you, as somebody who eats Domino's Pizza almost every weekend during the spring covering Dirtbags Baseball, I appreciate it. Yeah. I appreciate the honesty. I appreciate the reset. And I also appreciate that their pizza does, in fact, taste better.
It's much better.
The NCAA needs to take a Domino's approach to their life right now.
Oh.
They need a complete mea culpa. Our bad. Thing got out of control. We're going to reset, fix a few small issues that are going to make big waves in the future, and we're all going to be better for it. They're still going to be student athletes.
Yeah.
But there's going to be small little adjustments. So, Mike, we talk about this a lot. What would we do to fix the NCAA? Let's put it down right now.
Okay.
Top things, first couple things that we would do to fix the NCAA, because you and I both agree that we don't think that every player should be getting paid all the time. However,
like Long Beach State can't afford to pay the cross
country
team.
Yeah. Can't do it. However,
should the Alabama football guys be getting paid? Yes.
Let athletes profit off their own likenesses.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, if Zion wants to sign a shoe, deal with Nike.
Why is he waiting until after?
If Kyler Murray wanted to sign autographs for $10 a pop during bowl week in January, if Casper Ware wanted to sell Naples Rib Company,
yeah,
any rib company for that matter, he could have done that while he was at Long Beach State. It doesn't affect the NCAA. It doesn't affect the team.
Right.
All it does is change the player. And if all these players are going to go to the pros anyways, they're going to have to time manage themselves all the time. So why not learn that in college? Isn't that what college is for? Preparing you for your real life?
I think that the most obvious thing they could do to fix it, and first off, let me say this. The difference between Domino's and the NCAA is that Domino's had to do something because they were losing money. And the NCAA, they're like, we're doing great. We're making more money than we ever made before, right? This is like more of a moral stance, I think, from our point.
Right.
The easiest thing they could do, because they wouldn't need to do anything, would be to just remove the language from the National Letter of Intent about that. Currently, if you sign a scholarship to go play NCAA sports, you not only can't profit off your likeness, you also sign away the rights to that likeness in perpetuity to the NCAA, which is like, I know that people correctly feel that slavery analogies and stuff like that are overblown, but if you just consider that, hey, you're going to go play Alabama football for 3 years before you get drafted, that means the NCAA, not Alabama, the NCAA owns the rights to your likeness forever. No one should think that that makes sense, right?
Doesn't make sense anywhere else in the world.
Right. Well, correct. Or in our labor market. So I think right straight away, and again, listen, if the deal was the NCAA is not going to sign billion-dollar TV contracts, the schools aren't going to make all the money off their conference networks, they're going to take all that money and just split it up and give it to all the kids or donate it all to the university. Okay. My problem is if it is being run like a business, which it is, why aren't the people doing the work getting paid? So that to me is where this change needs to come in.
Especially the elite work.
Yes.
Like not everybody at a business gets paid the same. The people who are higher on the ladder get paid more
than
the people below. So
they have issues, for example, where like football and men's basketball are what generate most of the TV revenue, right? So that's their question. With Title IX restrictions and everything else, well, how do we pay people equally? My answer to this is exactly what you just said. If they just allow the kids to do an autograph event, right, or to do a Nike contract Or I love what you said, Casper Ware. Like Long Beach State doesn't often have athletes that people can make money off of. But when they have a Casper Ware, why not let Casper Ware film two commercials a year and make some money off of it?
30-second radio spot?
There's no reason to not do that, right?
Whose life is ruined by that?
If all they do is take that restriction away, it becomes a meritocracy. Well, the kids that are in the most demand are going to get the most money. And it's not the school spending the money on the kids, so there's right. no restrictions on like how that stuff works out. The argument, what cracks me up is the argument against it is, well, then Alabama football would just say, come to Alabama, like we're going to give endorsement deals to everyone because we have this booster who's right here or whatever. And I just always laugh when people say that because it's like, do you think that's not what happens now?
Are you not paying attention to the news?
Have you not been paying attention? All that would happen would be that it would be legal and it would be something that we could see was happening.
Oh, hey.
You could even do what the Olympics used to do, which is like, say you're an amateur tennis player, but you won Wimbledon or something. You could have, through the NCAA, all these kids have a bank account that doesn't get paid to them until after they graduate. Then they graduate and they get paid out. Like that's a common arrangement in sports.
Yes.
Like people have, you know what I mean? Like that's been done in lots of different sports. Like AVP does that.
Yeah.
For college athletes who win at the AVP or something, they'll just put the money in an account. And then when they graduate, they give it to them.
Erin Cayetano from St. Anthony had that done for her
yes,
2 years ago.
Right. It's super simple. And so what bugs me when people argue against paying student athletes is like, there's no real argument like here. The other thing I would say is I would put more of an emphasis on the student. Like
people, thank you.
But listen, but people don't know that if you go play UCLA basketball or USC football, you know, the argument against paying players is, well, they get a degree and that's invaluable. Those kids, a lot of elite programs give kids a list of here's the degrees you're allowed to major in.
Yep.
And you know what? Biotech is not on that list.
Nope. Okay? Underwater basket weaving might be.
So, and that's something that bothers me because we've covered kids. Dabnis Atkins was a poly kid who was going to go to Yale to play football. He wanted to be in their business marketing program
because
they had
a
great program. They said, yeah, of course, come do whatever. So he, being a smart kid, called the business marketing department and they said, oh, no, the football team would never let someone be here and we don't take athletes. So this is just like, if you're going to say what we're giving you is a degree, you got to give them the degree. You got to say, oh, you know what? You're pre-med. You're going to miss some practices.
Yeah.
Okay. But you're here to be a student athlete and that means something.
And if you do that, I feel like you kind of have to raise the minimum grade requirements at the same time to hammer home the fact that you are resetting yourself as the NCAA organization. Yeah, maybe we let kids send emissaries to class to take quizzes for them in the past.
Right.
But now I want to see an academically ineligible list come out at the beginning of every season, like you and I have to put together at the beginning of every basketball season
right.
or soccer season. Oh, this kid's going to have to miss the first half because of, you know, not having the grades up the last semester or whatever. They need to raise the minimum and they need to make grade checks public. Like I have my grades posted on the wall at Long Beach State. Everyone can see my name or my number. It's up there.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't see why kids in high school are held to a higher standard than kids at the next level.
Especially when kids generation. At the next level have tutoring centers and all this infrastructure.
You've got all
around them and stuff too.
You need. I barely went to class. Mom, don't listen to this. I barely went to class and I was able to keep my
you
grade point average
guy.
Above a 3.0.
Right.
It's like, I don't understand what you do instead of that. But I also think you could do that. And I think if the universities specifically, but also the NCAA, puts a higher minimum grade requirement, it's going to chase out the guys, the one and dones. Because I think we also should talk about that. Should college basketball get rid of the one and dones and make it so that if you come to play college athletics, because there's the D-League, it's right there.
You can watch it
if you want to.
Yeah.
If you come to play college athletics, you are going to be a student athlete.
But let me say one thing in defense of the NCAA, which I don't do very much of, but like that's the NBA created that. Right. I mean, like the NBA said, you got to wait a year out of high school to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's now pretty obvious that that's a mistake. And we'll see that go away either this year or next year.
Do you think the NCAA, I believe this, do you think the NCAA has the sway, the hand in this conversation to kind of let the NBA know what it wants? I think they might.
But I think ultimately the NBA is going to go, the NBA is understanding some of the ways in which this doesn't make sense. But they're also understanding exactly what you just said. Look at European soccer. They're going to go, well, why wouldn't we just put the elite kids in the G League and we're the ones who get to make money off of them for a year. And the kids can also make money in this arrangement. You know
but
what I
don't
mean?
You think the G League, and I did call it the D League earlier, my apologies. Don't you think the G League gets better if it has 3 years.
Is it a Zion Williamson?
I mean, is it right now? Yes. It's better with Zion. Sure. Yes. Do you think that the G League takes a larger jump in popularity than the NCAA or Duke basketball or the tournament does with Zion? Like, who benefits more? Cui bono? I feel like the NCAA benefits more by having a player than the G League.
Yes.
So the G League would, in fact, benefit more if they were like, you can go to college for as long as you want. You can go to high school for as long as you want. But you're not going to be able to play in the NBA until you do a season in the G League. That is a one and done that I think the NBA would actually profit from.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's – I would imagine that when they – as they remove that restriction next year, I imagine the G League is going to be a part of that conversation. It's pretty obvious that they're looking to sink more money and infrastructure into it, which – I mean, which just makes sense. When people talk about expansion – you know, expansion franchises, well, it would make way more sense to have a second viable developmental league.
Right.
You keep your kids from having to go to Europe and then work their way up to the NBA, and you can get into 25 new cities. You know what I mean? Like the LA Defenders or whatever the Lakers one is, get that team to the IE right now. There's 11 million people or whatever out there with no professional sports team.
Here's a big
people
one.
People would go nuts for that team.
Transfers. Transfers are a huge deal. Obviously, in the CIF Southern section, we've been talking about transfers forever.
Yes.
Grad transfer rules now in the NCAA, making transferring all the more easier.
Yeah.
All the more likely.
Yes.
If we're going to go there, if we're going to change the transfer rules for the players right now, I think we should also be changing the rules for the coaches. Coaches should not be able to take multi-million dollar deals and then leave in the middle of them.
Ooh.
After promising athletes that they were going to stay throughout their career. They're just going to bounce to another school, and next year they're coaching another school. If you're going to take a deal to stay at a school and you leave that school prior to the completion of that deal, you got to sit out a year. Sorry, coach. Go join the desk at ESPN with Seth Greenberg.
Or if we don't like that, then
shout out to Seth Greenberg, by the way.
If we don't like that, then let everybody transfer. You know what I mean? But yeah, I think that's –
it's got to go one way or the other.
I think that's true too. That's the other thing that people don't understand is, you know, for recruiters and coaches, this stuff flat out is a business. You know what I mean? And they like – people don't understand that. Coaches say all the time, like, it was a big thing for us when John Timu had his UW offer. The big question was, when he blew his knee out, are they going to honor that offer? Because a lot of colleges didn't. They were smart enough to honor it with him. But, like, you hear stuff like that, and you're like, and people think the student athletes are the wrong end of this? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. So, I like that. If you commit to a kid, you're going to be there, be there. And I also think you should not be able to offer a kid a scholarship unless it is what they would call a committable offer. I think 247 did a great thing about, you know, there's kids now, like even 10 years ago, this wasn't the case. Like Juju Smith-Schuster, he could have gone anywhere he wanted for school, but he couldn't have put on Instagram, this coach offered me a scholarship from every school, right? Like that, it wasn't how it used to be done. Now that's how it's done, I think 247 did a compilation in last spring of how many colleges have offered scholarships. And it was like Tennessee was number one. I think they had offered 240 kids a scholarship, right? Now they know most of those kids aren't going to commit to them. It's a PR thing. You know, like we want this elite West Coast kid to say Tennessee offered him. So we want him to tweet us out. But like if a coach tells a kid, because we had a couple kids at Poly a few years ago that had been offered by coaches, when they went to go and sign, the coaches said, sorry, we don't have a spot, right? If a coach offers you a scholarship, I mean, my mom would have killed someone. Someone offered me a writing scholarship and then said, oh, yeah, that's our bad, bro. Like, you took a week too long to decide you were going to take it. You know, she would have ripped that guy's face off. But that happens every day in the NCAA.
We're going to bring Hemingway's third grandson in here instead.
So I think that would be – when you talk about that commitment, people talk about, oh, kids transfer all the time now. And I always go, the commitment has to be there on the other side too. You were talking about with coaches staying in places, but I think you should only be able to make committable offers as well. Put everything in the transfer portal. We've offered this kid. We therefore cannot offer five other kids until this kid tells us he's not coming.
How about salary caps? I'm obviously specifically talking about coaches, but even universities. Maybe there's universities,
like a total budget,
athletic programs who shouldn't be able to do business at the level they do business at. There are football programs out there who are doing multi-million dollar deals. And then there's football programs out there scraping for thousands of dollars. If you put a salary cap on them, much like professional sports has, do you then rise the tide and lift all ships? Does that bring the other ones back up? I don't know. I don't think it's really possible to know, but I think a salary cap on coaches, specifically basketball, men's basketball and football, might be in the near future, because if you stop the universities from being able to move these coaches back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah.
Maybe the perception of the NCAA and that relationship between coach and player changes a little bit, because let's be honest, these guys are getting paid way too much.
That's interesting. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, football coaches especially do. Some of the
ridiculous
numbers out there are crazy. While you're saying we can't afford to.
Yeah, right?
We can't afford to give the kids an extra plane ticket for their parent to come out.
Look, we've talked about this a lot on this show, and we're going to continue talking about it. So please let us know how you would fix the NC2A, because, gosh, they really need your help. That's it. That's all. There ain't no more. Before we end this episode of What Up Long Beach, we got a jam about the fam. Mike, we got a fam jam. What do you got?
I feel like this is the third or fourth week in a row I'm like, did I see my family just
like 2 months
week?
At this point.
Yeah, well, no more. We're going to be doing stuff with the family going forward, which I'm excited about. My daughter's homesick. That sucks. But Shar got to stay home since we had the podcast today. It was Shar's turn to stay homesick with the kiddo. And she was so stressed about it last night, about having to write a sub plan and all this other stuff. And I just told her, like, you just enjoy it. Like, it's cool to be homesick with your kid. It's not fun. Like, yeah, you have to not work. You have to do whatever else. But, like, I remember those days when I was a kid really strongly, being great days with my mom.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to report that Shar and Maya are having a great time together today. So,
good.
There you go. Appreciate the time together, even when it's for not a great reason.
Speaking of adorable young women, my niece, Evelyn, little sister's daughter, no one told me that when my sister sends me videos, me and my wife videos of my little niece singing my wife happy birthday.
Yeah.
Or her bouncing around at her gymnastics class, little gymboree. No one told me that that was going to like crack open a time capsule of memories that I completely forgot, because obviously my niece looks like my sister.
Right.
So it's like I'm watching a different episode of the same show, but like with the same things happening, like with the singing and the cleaning and the dolls and the houses and obviously the gymnastics. And now just look at this and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can smell that gymboree class that I have to go pick up my sister from or whatever.
Yeah.
It was like, it's so weird how I see these pictures and it immediately reminds me of when my sister was that age. And there's my sister taking the video as a grown adult. It's really a trip, dude. It's really a trip.
I think the most unexpected thing for me about having kids was it's as close to a like purely religious experience as I've had, where there's moments where you're looking at your kid's face after they're born and you're just seeing your dad look at you. And you're seeing his dad look at him, and like you're just plugged into that stream that we're all a part of, right? We feel like our lives are so long and big and complex, but like everyone in the world has a great, 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 great grandfather and mother, right? Like, and I definitely like you bring a new generation in, and all of a sudden you can kind of just for a second peel the curtain of the world back and see that continuum that we're all on.
Heavy hitting stuff here. What up, Long Beach? We got to get back to covering local sports, the thing we love to do so much. So thank you to everybody at the What Up Long Beach, everybody at the 562.org, everybody at Long Beach Post, heck, everybody at Johnny B's and Naples Rib Company, everybody who is supporting local news and sports coverage, thank you. And to you, Long Beach, we'll see you in the stands this weekend. So for Mike and for JJ and for everybody else, take care.